smoking, that joint or shooting up with whatever. The next time I want to misbehave myself, help me to remember that I had a Savior who went to the cross and was brutalized just for me.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, Pastor Brian Grant brings the first message of a trilogy, a series of messages built around the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th Psalms, and with the theme, The Good Shepherd. This first message will be taken from Psalm 22, where Pastor Grant will show how the core of the gospel is revealed in the graphic description of death by crucifixion, the means by which Jesus, as our substitute, answered God's wrath against sin on our behalf and became our good shepherd. This psalm underscores the fact that Jesus alone is able and eager to save. So we invite you to open your Bibles to Psalm 22 and listen along with us as Pastor Grant brings the first part of this message entitled, The Lord is My Shepherd. Here now is Pastor Grant.
John was a young graduate and he was interviewing for his first job. The interviewer said to him, "Well, John, what type of salary are you expecting? What sort of starting salary you're expecting?" "As well, I was hoping for probably $125,000 to start," he said, "plus a strong benefit package." The interviewer said, "Okay, what about suppose we give you 6 fully paid weeks of vacation? Suppose we give you paid medical and dental, 25% of your salary we could contribute to your pension. And then suppose we give you a new car every 2 years, perhaps a BMW or Mercedes." Oh, John was excited. He sat up in his chair. He says, "Whoa, are you kidding?" The interviewer said, "Of course I'm kidding. After all, you started it asking for $125,000 salary." Well, you know, if you wanted to be a shepherd, you know you weren't going to make $125,000. In fact, during the time of Jesus, shepherds were very poorly paid. In fact, they're still poorly paid today. But you know you weren't paid at all, and you weren't going to get no benefits. In fact, the shepherds were despised, they were looked down on, and being a shepherd was a bad career move. But aren't you glad the Lord is my shepherd? Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that I have a shepherd, and he is not some loser, because shepherds were regarded as losers, but my shepherd ain't no loser. He's Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. I'm speaking today about the Lord is my shepherd. You know, people love trilogies. I don't know if you're one of those who like trilogies, but you remember one of the great trilogies from way back when was one called Back to the Future. Anybody know about Back to the Future? And let me see how good you are. The stars of Back to the Future was Doc and a guy by the name of, help me somebody, Marty McFly. Oh, you don't remember that, do you? Today I want to start and discuss with you another trilogy. It's what I'll describe as the Shepherd Trilogy. You see, for you'll soon see, Psalm 22, 23, and 24 each provide a picture of our Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ is referred to as the Good Shepherd. But it also refers to him as the great shepherd, and it also refers to him as the chief shepherd. And as we study Psalm 22, 23, and 24, you'll see that Psalm 23, which identifies him and clearly says, "The Lord is my shepherd," you'll notice that in chapter 20, in Psalm 22, the Bible takes great care to present Jesus as a shepherd. The word shepherd might not be used, but as we go through it, you'll see clearly it's presenting Jesus Christ as the good shepherd. Put this in your notes. Psalm 22 presents Jesus Christ as the good shepherd who was crucified for us. Amen. Psalm 23 presents Jesus as the great shepherd who cares for us. And Psalm 24 presents Jesus as the chief shepherd who is coming for us. Hallelujah. He is coming back for us. Now, usually, when you have a trilogy, it takes you a few years to get to the end. Am I right about that? But I promise you, I won't take a few years to finish this trilogy. In fact, by the end of September, God's willing, we'll be finished. And of course, the only reason why won't be finished till September is because I won't be here for a little bit. Amen. If the new church, this is the trilogy, the shepherd trilogy. Today we want to concentrate. We're going to focus on Psalm 22. Psalm 23 is the linchpin. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And Psalm 22, thank God he's our shepherd. And because he's our shepherd, we won't even want. We won't even lack salvation. We won't lack forgiveness. The good shepherd, Psalm 22, who died for the sheep. Turn me quickly to John's Gospel, chapter 10. John's Gospel, chapter 10. And here's how John's Gospel, chapter 10 reads. I'm only going to read from verse 10 this morning. John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus is speaking. Those of you who have your Bibles with the red letters, you'll notice. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly." And then he says, "I am the good shepherd." What does the good shepherd do? Help me, somebody. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. The good shepherd. Listen. You're going to see as we go through Psalm 22, it gives us incredible insight in what Jesus suffered for us on the cross. Psalm 22 is what's known as a messianic psalm. And for those of you who are wondering, what is a messianic psalm? A messianic psalm is a psalm that prophesies about the work of Jesus. And Psalm 22 is truly amazing. David wrote Psalm 22 about 1,050 years before Jesus was born. At that time, the Jews knew nothing about crucifixion, but amazingly, as we're going to look in Psalm 22, amazingly, David, as he writes, he is able to actually prophesy the very words that Jesus would say on the cross as he was crucified for us. 1,050 years later, Jesus is experiencing what David has already foretold. This book is amazing, isn't it? This Bible. You know, some people say, "Oh, it's a man-made book." Listen, young person, as you move on, I want it to be very clear. This is no man-made book. This is the holy, inspired Word of God. Listen, it is inerrant, it is authoritative, and you can depend on it. You can put your life in it. And as some of you go off to college in a few weeks, I just want you to realize that when you go there and you hear the professors and others who think they are people of great learning as they would try to put down this word of God. I want to leave you with the importance of the word of God, because the word of God tells us in the book of Joshua chapter 1, it tells us that if we listen and adhere to what the Bible tells us, it says, we will make our way prosperous and we will have what? Good success. Do you want to have a successful life? Now, I'm not talking about do you want to be a billionaire. Come on, now we realize that being a billionaire is not all that it was cracked up to be. I heard that one just killed himself a couple of days ago. There are a whole lot of others in big trouble. You see, success is not based on your bank account. Success is, now, let me say part of it. Success is knowing Jesus, that's true. But I want to tell you, my friend, success is knowing that when you have come to the end, you have lived out what God put you on earth for. Like the Apostle Paul, when you come to the end, you can say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Listen, I have experienced everything God wanted me to experience. And I wish would to God that more individuals in this church have this burning desire. Listen, I just don't want to be a person to warm a bench. I don't just want to be somebody that was here. I want it to be that when my time on earth has ended, that I can say that I experienced what God had for me. I finished my course and I finished well. Listen, are you living to the glory of God? Moses said, you will have good success. You will have good success. You will have good success. If you adhere to the teachings of the Word of God and you live it out. Because this book is special. It is the actual Word of God. Some people look at the Ten Commandments as 10 suggestions. This is God's Word. And my God, listen, it blows your mind. Sometimes you read and you're like, wow. Well, I hope even this morning, as we open Psalm 22, God will blow your mind and you'll say, wow. Three things I want to share with you this morning that this psalm teaches us. Three simple things. This ain't no profound message, but everything in God's word is profound. It might be simple, but it's profound.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Number one, it teaches us why Jesus was hung on the cross. My God, verse one, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? Those words sound familiar, don't they? Because as we know, it's a question Jesus would ask from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why did God forsake him? Well, the question is really answered in verse number 3. Here's how it says in verse number 3. But you are, what is the word? Holy. Because God is holy, he must forsake sinners. Because God is holy, he must forsake sinners. And my friend, as you've come into God's house this morning, you need to realize, because you are a sinner, just like I was, we were all born sinners. Because we are sinners, God must forsake us. Because a holy God cannot countenance sin. But Jesus became our substitute, thank the Lord. Jesus took our sin. And because Jesus took our sin, when he was on the cross, he was who knew no sin. The Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin for us. Because Jesus was bearing my sin on the cross, a holy God had to forsake his son. I'm so glad that Jesus is my substitute. I'm so glad that unlike, oh, look, follow me now. I'm so glad that unlike other so-called saviors, Jesus willingly took all my sin. He took your sin willingly, and that Jesus paid the penalty your sin deserved and the penalty my sin deserved. Jesus died for our sins on the cross. You know, we're living in a pluralistic society, and even preachers are now wearing a watering down Jesus' claim. Preachers are afraid to say this anymore. You see, preachers are afraid to say that Jesus is the only way to heaven. I hope you realize that. That's where we are. Preachers don't want to say that anymore. But Jesus said, I am the way. I am, help me out. I am what? The truth. And I am what? The life. No man comes to the Father but by me. A famous TV preacher said, I used to believe we should ask Muslims to accept Christ as Savior, but I don't believe that anymore, he said. I've come to believe that it's wrong to try and talk anyone out of believing what they want to believe and becoming a Christian. The only problem is, before you go there, you need to answer this question for me. What other sinless person died and paid the penalty for your sin? Come, help me out, somebody. If you can find another sinless person who died and paid the penalty for my sin, I will stop preaching. I don't want to stop preaching about Jesus. I will stop preaching entirely if you can help me out. But the problem is there ain't no other sinless person around. We're in this age, and you know, the young people, they go to college and they come back so educated, and now we know that Jesus is just another prophet. After all roads lead to the same place. They taught me that garbage when I was in college. All roads lead to the same place. Yes, every road leads to hell. The Bible says, broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many find it. You see, I'm not talking about the broad road. The road to salvation is a very narrow road. A minister of the gospel said to me just recently, he said, Brian, I can't believe that the God that I serve would be so narrow. Oh my goodness, my brother, Jesus said it's narrow. It's not me telling you. He says narrow is the way that leads to life, and very few find it. And I need to ask you, have you found that narrow? Road, have you found it? Is Jesus Christ your Savior and your Lord? You see, Jesus is the only sinless one. You remember at his baptism what happened? Heaven opened and God the Father from heaven pronounced, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. God himself was well pleased with Jesus. God says, I have no issue with him. There is no problem with him. There is no fault with him. There is no sin in him. And of course, at his transfiguration, you remember what happened at the transfiguration? Here we are on the Mount of Transfiguration. And of course, Jesus, he was glorified, and his face started shining. And Peter, James, and John said, should we make some tabernacles, because there was Moses and Elijah, should we make? You see, they were so impressed. They realized that what they were doing, they were putting Jesus on a par. They're putting Jesus on a par with Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah are two great, incredible prophets. And they're saying, we better make it, man. Let's make three tabernacles. One for Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Sounds like what we're doing today. All good prophets. And God stopped it. God thundered from heaven, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. My friend, I want to talk to you young people who have been given this nonsense that it doesn't matter what you believe. Just be sincere. I want you to know that God from heaven spoke that day, and he said, as great as Moses is, as great as Elijah is, there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved than the name of Jesus. Hear him! And this morning, I'm so glad that I'm a proclaimer of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Thank God he's the only sinless one. And thank God he was willing, amen, he was willing to die for me. It's great he was sinless, but suppose he wasn't willing. But he was willing to die for me. And I'm so glad. Listen, this psalm teaches us why Jesus was hung on the cross. But the psalm teaches us what Jesus suffered on the cross. Because our good shepherd, Psalm 22 is about the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. And our good shepherd suffered intensely to provide us with salvation. It was intense, physical suffering. Did you see the movie The Passion of the Christ? How many of you saw that one? It was a powerful movie. I was in the theater, but I didn't see the whole movie. To be honest, some of the scenes were too intense for me. You said, Pastor, I thought you were so tough. Not really. Some of those scenes were just too intense for me. I had to close my eyes. I cried as I watched the depiction of what Jesus would have suffered for me. As the producer of that movie went to great length to try and depict what a crucifixion was like, I'd be honest, tears came to my eyes. But let's look at Psalm 22, verse 14. And here's what the psalmist, as he speaks prophetically about what happened on the cross. He says, I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It has melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. It appears that his body was so viciously battered that it no longer had a solid feeling. Just imagine that. Try and enter into what Jesus is saying. He says, I am poured out like water. His body is so battered that it doesn't even feel like a solid mass. It feels like water, and it feels like water that is being poured out. His heart felt like melted wax. He could feel all of his bones. Every bone hurt. Some of you have got to hear. Some of you have some pain. How many, I don't need a show of hands. There's some folks with some pains. I got a knee pain. I got a couple pains here and there. But listen, so I know, listen, I can't miss where my knee is. I can identify it by the pain. And Jesus is saying, he can't miss any of his bones. Every single bone is hurting. He is. He is brutalized, and he is being brutalized because of you and me. Let us never, ever miss that. His internal systems were dried up. He says his heart felt like melted wax. His tongue was parched. You remember some of the things that happened on the cross. As I prepared this message, I said, Lord, help me. The next time the evil one tempts me to sin, help me to remember this. Help me to remember the intensity of your suffering on the cross. The next time I feel like smoking that joint or shooting up with whatever, the next time I want to misbehave myself, help me to remember that I had a Savior who went to the cross and was brutalized just for me. Help me to realize, my daddy used to say, help me to realize how awfully sinful sin is. Because sometimes the devil makes us believe sin is not so sinful. But when we see Jesus on a cross and we realize it's because of my sin, it helps me to realize sin is very sinful.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.